Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time for another WVU Marketing Communications Today program. Brought to you live from the campus of West Virginia University. It's a show that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing practices. With the magicians who make it happen each and every week, led by our lead wizard here, Cindy Greenglass. Hey, you know, today, I know when we start these shows is whatever I see in the show notes. And today is very mysterious. It says, be the real deal. So I'm really looking forward to what this is really all about. And your guest teased me. I tried to get her to tell me. All she'd tell me is has something to do with the meaning of life.
Oh, my goodness. And the number 42.
Oh, wow. So we're going to get into numerology. We're going to talk about, the Knights Templar. This is going to be lots of interesting stuff here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have my first international guest on our show today, Tamara Rebick. And she comes to us from the suburbs of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And she is a founder and chief experience officer of a company called Corifery Holistic Consulting. And I had the opportunity to chat with Tamara when she was here in Chicago facilitating a group of educators on experiential education. And it was just the most fascinating conversation. I said, we got to get you on our show. Tamara consults and advises on strategies connected to participant engagement, organizational capacity, inclusive and authentic encounters. She really is a passionate experiential educator, and she brings that to the workplace learning, and she helps speak on a wide range of topics, facilitating workshops for audiences ranging from teens to adults. She has a Master's of Education in Adult Education and Community Development from the University of Toronto. She has certificates in experiential education, adaptive learning, coaching, storytelling for change, and has been trained in design thinking. So a fascinating and really different kind of guest for us. And Tamara likes to talk about audacious authenticity in an age of contrived reality. And I think that we certainly are all experiencing this. We understand that today when there are sound bites and easy ways in which we can manipulate fact and fiction, what is legitimate, what is authentic, and what is not is a very hard thing for us. And so Tamara brings a really different and unique superpower to us with audacious authenticity. I want to welcome her as our guest today. Tamara, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
We're going to start off and jump right into it. And Tamara, tell us a little bit in your words, what does it mean to have audacious authenticity?
So first of all, for those who like to be word geeks like me, it just has this great alliteration to it. But what I really have come to define it as is an applied value, which means that it's this value that when you're applying it to your behavior, it guides decision making, particularly in terms of how you, your brand, your product, how it's being experienced. What I mean by that specifically is, as a manager, for instance, there are specific skills and capacities that one person has, or there are defaults that we're sort of used to falling back on, and we think, well, we're doing what is expected of us. We're not necessarily thinking about how is that experienced by our direct reports, by our clients, by the consumer, etc. And so the idea of audacious authenticity is that here is a value and an idea that you can actually apply in real life and use it as a compass to try to anchor yourself in consistent, honest interactions so that the experiences that various people have with you or with your brand are really very much reliable, and you accelerate an element of integrity when you're building those relationships.
I get it. That's fascinating. And our challenge today, too, is I'm a boomer. Many of us boomers are talking about the millennials, the Gen Zs, the generation of younger folks that think differently and grew up in a very different world than we did. And we know that the millennials and the Gen Zs are coming out of an environment of reality TV, everything from Survivor and American Idol to everything you can do to Photoshop and your selfies. And while entertaining to Gen Z, you have some interesting statistics about what they believe to be their version of reality and how these younger generations feel about trust, skepticism, and wondered if you would share that with us and give us some concrete examples of how to solve for some of this.
Absolutely. You said you're a boomer. I am a very proud Gen Xer. And what is funny about that for me is that I'm on the very like end blip of the Gen X demographic. And from the moment that I graduated college and started working, I was working with what is now the millennial and also Gen Z demographic. So I got into education, first in formal education and community building, and then working directly in a high school for 10 years and working with youth, you know, from fifth grade right through the end of university and college. While I grew up as a Gen Xer, my young professional life and then my adult life was really immersed in the experiences of millennials and Gen Zers. And so it's been really interesting because I actually find that I have absorbed a lot of the mentality that they have and that they present or reporting to present in, you know, according to trends and statistics. So I have this tremendous amount of empathy for what their experience is and how it is to sort of navigate a world that is constructed by boomers. And that is currently being facilitated and led by both boomers and Gen Xers. That is just a little bit of context to begin with. There are for sure patterns when we talk about loyalty, affinity, patterns of interest in subscribing to organizations where millennials are less inclined to do that. That they are, there's this bad rap that millennials get about being the entitled generation. And conversely, what my experience has been is that they're actually really very eager and passionate and just impatient to get to where they want to go because the system that has existed until now requires a set of rules of engagement that the millennial generation is simply not interested in engaging in. And so they wish to reset the board. And so audacious authenticity, when you think about it, audacious refers to a willingness to be bold and to take risks. Audacious, like by definition, if you go back to the Latin of the word, it comes from daring. And authenticity is about being genuine, reliable, trustworthy, and concrete. When we think historically about the era of when Gen Z started really coming to be aware of world events, this was in 2000. This started around 2008. The economy had shifted. News was everywhere. The internet was giving accessible news in a completely different way. People's identities were morphing depending on the platform. When I was thinking about how I was excited to share this particular podcast, I have 5 different online identities between Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. And when you think about it, and if you look at the patterns, people present themselves differently on different platforms, which makes it really impossible almost to figure out who is the real deal and what is in existence. So when we talk about concrete examples to try to appreciate how one can be not only authentic, but audaciously authentic, there are a couple of examples. Number one, Tim Brown writes this case study in his book. Tim Brown is the founder of IDEO that created the concept of design thinking over 20 years ago. And in his book called Change by Design, he shares a case study about Shimano, which is a bicycle manufacturing company. And they were an industry leader in high-performance bikes. And they were doing the best of the best of the best elite athlete training, and their sales were really going down. And they engaged IDEO in a process of design thinking to reimagine. And by using an authentic perspective of empathy, which is really the engine for audacious authenticity, meaning they really got into the shoes of who is the population in the market that they're not able to connect with yet, and curiosity about what might it be like for them to see the product, they realized that a huge market segment that was not engaging with their product was actually intimidated by the idea of elite cycling. And they came up with an entire campaign called Coasting, which I highly recommend you check out because it's a fascinating case study and a great campaign. And they brought back a retro design of bikes, as well as a variety of leisure bikes where the focus was on the experience. And it goes back to this idea of how can one experience the interaction, because that's what leads to trust and buy-in and loyalty and affinity. And so their tagline was first one there is a rotten egg. And it's this great example of all of a sudden their sales rocketed up, things improved dramatically, and it was this great aha moment of, okay, we are being authentic and saying not everybody is going to be a high-performance athlete. Not everybody is going to want to spend half of their salary on a bike. They reimagined the experience and were very honest in terms of saying, okay, we want to be transparent that we can be one thing to one group and another thing to another. And also, we want to make space for honesty, saying we want to own the fact that I only want a bike for leisure. I only want a bike for the experience of coasting. So that's a great example to me of how do we bring this concept of authenticity and really lean in to both the space for honesty to say, let's actually do an about face to perfectionism. And that brings me into a second example specifically for the Gen Zers. If you look at the increased awareness around fighting stigma around mental health, fighting stigma around different ideas that have for so long been suppressed, Gen Z is a little bit young for this now, but issues around fertility for women has been a really big challenge that once upon a time was never spoken about. This idea of saying, hang on, the perfectionist image is actually not a value of importance anymore. Being real to myself is what's important. And so Gen Zers are not on Facebook. They don't feel like publicly sharing that way. Gen Zers are on Snapchat because they're private and it's individual communications that way. And so there's that private aspect too. So again, how do we want to privately present ourselves and what is the experience that we're offering to others through being this audacious self?
I think it's very refreshing to hear that perfection is no longer the goal that we are looking to achieve. I wish I was born a lot later than I was. This sounds like a wonderful time to embrace who you are and feel better about yourself and live in your own skin. We're going to take a quick break and send it back to Paul. But when we come back, I really want to dig in now, Tamara. I want you to think about, we have shared together that there are 7 core competencies of audacious authenticity. So as the fact-based data gal, I'd like to dig into what are those competencies and how can we become proficient at them. So hold on, audience. We'll be back in a minute. Paul, back to you.
Okay, well, this will give you long enough just to pause and digest some of the mind-blowing stuff we're talking about here today. But there's a place you can learn more of these kinds of cutting-edge concepts. It's West Virginia University's Online Data Marketing Communications Program, first graduate program of its kind in the country, focusing on strategic thinking, problem solving, and informed decision making. We're trying to do here today, get some informed decision making data. The Data Marketing Communications Program prepares you for a career in all these exciting new fields by learning the innovative tactics from award-winning faculty like those presented here each and every week. You can learn more, and we know the drill. There's 9 letters that send you to this magic spot. DMC for Data Marketing Communications. DMC.WVU for West Virginia University. .edu. DMC.WVU.edu. Get you there. Well, I think it's amazing. Can I just interject one editorial comment here?
Absolutely.
I'm an aging baby boomer myself. I'm amazed at how we as a society are starved for authentic and honest, whether it's from the news, whether it's from politicians, whether it's from brands, whether it's from our friends and family. How did we get to this point where that seems to be the most cutting edge concept of all, authentic and real?
Isn't that a statement, I think, to our generation, they said was the last innocent generation.
Yeah, we believed, we assumed, right. Yeah, exactly. And then it all started falling apart. We didn't believe anything anymore here. Now we're to the point where we doubt everything. If a brand comes out and says something, we immediately think, they're lying. We're not telling the truth.
I do want to ask Tamara, I want to get to the seven core competencies here for being audaciously bold and authentic. You said something that I wanted to come back and ask you about. You said that, I think it was Gen Zs have multiple, or maybe just Gen Zs and millennials, and many of us, regardless of our generational cohort, have multiple identities online on different platforms. Does that not strike you as not authentic? Should you not be authentically yourself the same everywhere? Why is that okay?
That's a great question. And what I would say to begin with is being authentic does not always mean being the same. It means being consistent in how you create that interactive experience with yourself, your brand, your persona, your product, what have you. But it doesn't have to be the exact same. So if I'll talk, you know, my very limited knowledge of tech, I like the platform of Instagram because of its convenience in that I can take a picture, post something, and it automatically uploads to Facebook because Facebook owns Instagram. There are platforms that will push social media messaging through all of the different options for one type of message. However, how I want to communicate, how I want to authentically communicate through LinkedIn means that there is a tone of business and professionalism that is different than how I wish to communicate to a different group. I have different clients and different populations that I work with that interact with and follow me on different platforms for that very generational reason. And the way that I like to think about it concretely is it's very much like how you dress the part. If I'm going to meet a particular client and there's a particular experience I'm showing, I will dress the part in one way. If there's another client I'm presenting to, I will dress the part the other way. When I worked on campus for a number of years, showing up in a suit was ridiculous. That was not an option. But yet, a suit is very authentic of myself depending on the environment. And I think that that's the way that people should be thinking about themselves when they're talking about presenting online, because we do have realities of different types of identities and what we wish to reveal and to show and present. And frequently, especially amongst Gen Xers, I can only speak to my generation, my cohort, is that frequently Facebook, for example, is misused. It's used as like a public poster board. But that's not actually cultivating an experience. That's just putting stuff out there. And you don't even know how much people are going to read or interact with it. But when you're being authentic, then you're thinking about the experience that you're curating for what's going to happen when that person sees whatever pop up on their feed.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that for me and articulating it so well. Let's get into your seven core competencies.
I will do it very, very quickly. There are seven core competencies that I truly believe anchor audacious authenticity, starting with the idea of diversity of thought. If one does not expose themselves to a multitude of different perspectives, it will be incredibly difficult to be able to relate to all of the different people, whether they are colleagues, professionals, friends, family, clients, consumers. It'll be very difficult to genuinely offer a relatable experience. So diversity of thought and really going outside of what your own core beliefs are to understand, not to adopt, but to understand, really allows you to make a contribution in a different way than just benefiting from a relationship. And it takes a relationship from transaction to authentic. Building on the diversity of thought is the core competency of empathy. Understanding choices and how they are building blocks for further growth, meaning like the Shimano example, like let me put myself in the shoes, and I will tell you as a side note, my parents went out and bought retro bikes a few years ago, and they bought these 1950s retro bikes. This is the first time that they have gone on a bike ride since I was a teenager living at home. And so the idea of, and it's a great visual, the idea of putting yourself into the shoes and the lifestyle of the people who you wish to really gain buy-in from and build integrity with is critical, so that you're not just saying, yes, yes, I hear you, I think I know what you want. It's saying, hold on one second, I see things through your eyes, which allows you to be even more honest and clear. The next core competency is this idea of risk judgment. How much are you willing to put yourself out there and to be honest with yourself and to be honest externally. what happens when your actions don't play out as they are intended? And how are you willing to embrace that discomfort of risk? Building upon that is the concept of self-awareness. So if you have an element of risk judgment, the measure of self-awareness, meaning how accurately can I assess when my expectations are realistic? How accurately am I in tune with how I am presenting and how I am being experienced? So when you think of interactions in the workplace, let's say, and scenarios of either managing up or having, you know, supervisory interactions, there's a measure of self-awareness that is critical in being able to foster buy-in, loyalty, respect, and those are the pieces that come from this as well. Once those sort of internal pieces are built upon, then there is the core competency of transparency. Transparency is not a verb. It can be. I really believe that it's also an adjective. And I mean that how would we model and demonstrate honesty, not oversharing. That's really important. Transparency is not about oversharing. Transparency is about being honest about the good and the bad and how we are striving to improve the bad, not perfect the bad, but to improve the bad or the good and the, you know, opportunities for improvement. The pieces about transparency are really critical. And I'll finish the other two and then I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. In order to be transparent, you also need to be vulnerable and willing and comfortable being vulnerable. So how do we allow ourselves the space to be imperfect and not feel dejected by it? And then the final piece, which is really the icing on top, is tenacity. The commitment and the rigor to intentionally being mindful of these core competencies, testing them, practicing them, learning. I love the expression that I use frequently, failing forward. Make your fails epic and learn from them. When I worked in a high school, I spent many hours comforting and coaching students in failures, whether they were tests or not getting into the college that they had originally wanted or what have you. And the learning that came out of negative experiences was so much more concrete than the immediate celebration of an accomplishment and then moving forward. And so there is tremendous value in failing forward. And so if you're going to fail forward, do it brilliantly and be tenacious about moving in that direction and being committed to the process.
I think that's awesome. I've heard fail fast, but fail forward, that's new. I like that very much. It just propel yourself forward from it. Don't let whatever that negative experience stop you, lose your momentum, prevent you from moving forward in a positive fashion. I think that's great. I know that tomorrow we're coming up on our time here and there's so much to talk about. I want to ask you one more question, and then you did mention some really good examples here. If people would like to get in touch with you, can they reach out to you based on the contact information you provided on the show?
Absolutely, with pleasure.
Thank you. So I'm going to ask you, with the last 2 minutes that we do have left here, what trends should we be looking for in the coming year as it relates to, you've already shared with us some of the generational and cohort behaviors. What do you see as an emerging trend that we should be on the lookout for?
I think that we should be on the lookout for how the current generation, whether we're talking about Gen Z or even Gen Alpha, who are, you know, the elementary and middle school kids, et cetera, even younger, how they are interacting with opportunities to be authentic and what is being modeled for them and how is authenticity being modeled? Because the challenge with this is that this sounds great to adults. It's a pretty complex concept when you think about trying to completely change the way we are behaving and approaching the idea of revealing flaws and owning mistakes and sharing power and all of those types of things. The trend that we need to be on the lookout for is, who are the people who are disrupting the conventional mindset around circumventing being the real deal? And what kind of role models are we able to expose the next generation to in a positive way that will really engage them in owning who they are and being okay with who they are? And I am the proud parent of a tween and a younger child as well. And so I'm already seeing social media, trends at school, extracurricular activities, etc. And it's very interesting to see who are the adult role models, who are the teen and sort of youth role models, and what spaces are they being given to be able to help introduce these types of values and skills, life skills, 21st century skills, into the vocabulary and practice of the next generation, so that hopefully we'll have this conversation again in a number of years and we'll be looking at a different landscape.
Terrific. I look forward to it. I think you've given us a lot of reason to feel positive and to look forward to what the generations have to offer and the environment that we're going to continue to evolve in. Thank you, Tamara Rebick, for sharing audacious authenticity with us today on our show. And I wish you all and all my listeners a very good day. Back to you.
You've been listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today, brought to you live from West Virginia University, a biweekly program that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice, only on the Funnel Radio Network, for at-work listeners like you.